Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. May God add blessing to the reading of his word tonight. The emphasis on getting Christmas right. We want it white, and we want it bright. We want the tree, the decoration, the lights, the eggnog, the presents. We want everyone to be happy. We want to be able to get and give plenty. We want peace and we want joy and we want it to abound. In reality, though, Christmas often turns into a real hassle. We are rushed and we are pushed. We spend money that we often don't have for people that don't really like us or care for us. We want and like to acquire things. We give often to people things they don't want or they don't need. In our struggle to get it right, we often get it dead wrong. And we end up making ourselves and others miserable in the process. Well, I believe God wants us to get it right. I believe that God's not into us having a white Christmas. I believe he's interested in our having a right Christmas. How can we have a right Christmas? What do we need to understand and change in our lives? What needs to happen that will allow Christmas to be a time of blessing, a time of wonder, instead of a time of stress and a time of tension? Tonight's passage reveals some ingredients that are absolutely essential if we are to have a right Christmas. Now, I realize this is not a traditional Christmas text. John does not write about angels and shepherds, stars, or sheep. But he does something the other gospel writers don't do. John puts the greatest Christmas delivery of all time into this context. He tells us all we need to know to have a right Christmas. Notice with me first that we need to consider the person of Christmas. Do we realize that Christmas is filled with many distractions tonight? Between the personalities and the presents and the practices, it's easy to forget the real reason for the day. In fact, many of the things that we do and that we love are nothing more than ancient pagan rituals. They're symbols that have been hijacked by the Christian church. Verse 1 brings us back to the real essence of Christmas. We know who the Word is in John chapter 1 verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word. The Word is Jesus. Christ is Christmas. When we consider the person of Christmas, we must consider that this person, Jesus, is eternally God. In the beginning was the Word. This phrase does not imply that the Word had a beginning. It means that the Word has always existed. The word was is in the imperfect tense. It signifies an action of the past that continues into the present. It could be read this way. In the beginning was the Word, is the Word, and always will be the Word. The Word is eternal. He always has been, and He always will be. Before there was anything else, there was the Word. Jesus had His birth in Bethlehem, but not His beginning. Before there was a beginning, there was Jesus. Jesus was not plan B. There never was another plan. Jesus was always God's plan for the deliverance, the redemption, and the salvation of mankind. I want to share a little story with you. A couple of months before Christmas, the wife of a mail carrier was killed in a car accident. The husband was overcome with grief, and he was trying to work through his sorrow. He had stayed late at the post office sorting through the mountain of mail that always comes through at Christmas time. His job that day was to go through the mail that had been lost and to find where it should be rerouted. He came across a letter that was addressed to Santa Claus. And he noticed the address at the top of the letter was his own address. So he opened the letter. Looking down at the bottom of the page, he saw that it was his only daughter's signature. And he read, "Dear Santa, my mommy died 2 months ago. And since then, my daddy has been crying himself to sleep every night. He says only eternity will heal him. Would you please send a little bit of eternity to my dad this Christmas?" Well, folks, God not only sent a little bit of eternity, He sent the very heart of heaven to you and I. As John put it later in this very epistle, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." You'll find that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. You see, Jesus is eternally God. He is not only the Son of God, He is God the Son. But not only is He eternally God, He is equally God. The word translated word in this verse is the Greek word logos, and it refers to speech, reasoning, explanation, a word about something. That is who Jesus is. He is called the Word because a word is a visible expression of an invisible thought. Jesus is the perfect expression of who God is. Jesus is everything God has ever said or will say. He is everything God is in human form. Jesus is the explanation or the narration of God. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is Logos. Well, the word with means face to face or toward. This tells us that Jesus was face to face with God. In other words, He is God's equal. Now this alone reminds us that the God we serve is a triune God. There is one God who manifests Himself in three persons. The Word, Jesus, is one of those manifestations. He is equally God. Well, if we can accept the fact that He is eternally God and that He is equally God, we also must accept the fact that He is essentially God. The statement, "And the Word was God," is the clearest statement of the deity of Jesus that is found in the Bible. That is my personal opinion tonight. Not only is the Word co-eternal and co-equal with God. The Word is God. That is why Jesus could say the things He said in John 14:8, in John 10:30, in John 8:58. He is God. I cannot say that I am my Father or one. I can't say that at all. It just isn't true. Only Jesus can say that and be 100% accurate. When God sent His Son into the world in John 3:16, He sent one who was eternally, equally, and essentially God. In other words, when the angel said unto you, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, as we read in Luke 2:11, we understand they were announcing the birth of God in human flesh. All through His life, Jesus proved who He was over and over again and again. From peace be still, to rise up and walk, to Lazarus come forth, to thy sins be forgiven, to it is finished. The truth and the power of His deity was on constant display in front of all mankind. It was recorded throughout the words of the Bible. It is given to you and I for a blessing this Christmas. A blessing that should be carried forth in our hearts and in our lives daily. He alone is the person of Christmas. Well, something else we need to consider tonight. We need to consider that Jesus is the power of Christmas. If I were to ask you to tell me what you think the greatest manifestation of God's power is, you might all have a different answer. Some may say it is creation, some His miracles, others would talk about the cross, and still others would center on the resurrection. But may I submit to you tonight that the greatest expression of God's power was when He added humanity to His deity and came to live and die among men. Think for just a moment about just who was born in the manger and who lay there in the city of Bethlehem. The power of Christmas. And the power of Christmas tells us that Jesus is the maker of creation. When you consider that this verse tells us that Jesus was the creator of the universe, His birth as a baby becomes even more amazing. The creator of creation humbled Himself and became a creature in creation. God became dependent upon a human mother. Jesus, who was the agent of creation, stepped out of eternity and lay aside His glory and entered this world as a human baby. That is the power behind Christmas. That is why this season is not about trees and tinsel, packages or parties, bows or boxes, meals or mistletoe. The season is about Him, Jesus. He is the maker of creation. Not only is He the maker of creation, He is the master of creation tonight. Not only did He make this universe, but He is the power that holds it all together. And that is what the word consist means. As one man put it, He is the glue of the galaxies. He made it, and He holds it together. Can I say and offer you the ability to think about it this way? Man can't really make anything that runs as it should. But take a look at the great planet that we live on and realize that it does not travel in a true circle. It travels in three directions at the same time. It revolves on its axis. It travels around the sun. And its path is deflected by other planets. Still, it does not lose more than 1/100th of a second every 100 years. We can only say that Jesus is in control. Then, we look at the building block of this universe. The building block I'm referring to is the atom. An entity so small that each atom is less than 150 millionth of an inch in diameter. If you could take the molecules of a single drop of water, convert them into grains of sand, there would be enough sand to build a concrete highway, half a mile wide, 1 foot thick, all the way from New York to San Francisco, and there are 120 drops of water in a single teaspoon. Combine that with the fact that one cell from your body contains 200 billion molecules of atoms. Whether you look at the universe with a telescope and see how big it is, or you look at the universe with a microscope and see how small it is, when you see the order, the symmetry, the harmony, the beauty of all that is, only a fool would fail to conclude that God did it and that God is in control. So what does it all mean? It means that God is in control this Christmas. It may look like the world is spinning out of control, but it isn't. It is all in the hands of He who made it. And all things are working toward the purpose to which He designed them to work. The one who made it all and controls it all was born into this world 2,000 years ago as a helpless infant. He lives here in poverty. He lived here in rejection, only to die a horrible death on the cross. And He did this because He loved you. He loved me. He did it to secure our salvation. So what is the power of Christmas? Is it a fat man in a red suit taking toys to all the good little children? Is it a red-nosed reindeer or a magical snowman? Is it elves and presents and huge meals and family get-togethers? No! The power of Christmas is God in a manger. That is the power of Christmas tonight. That is the reason we celebrate this day. That is the essence of the whole season. Jesus. 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 Well, lastly tonight, I would like for you to consider the purpose of Christmas. The question that begs to be asked is why? Why did the Creator desire to become part of His creation? Why did God put on human flesh and walk among men? Why did He come into this world to live and to die? What is the purpose of Christmas? He came to bring life into deadness. When Jesus came into this world, He entered a world filled with dead men. But these dead men don't know that they are dead. Let me try to explain that by sharing another story with you. A farmer years ago was trying to teach his son the ways of life on a farm. So he took his son out to the hen house. He grabbed the chicken and said, "Son, your mama wants a chicken for dinner, so you know what we have to do?" With that, he cut the chicken's head off. The chicken began to flop around on the ground. Well, the little boy's eyes got wide with amazement, and he said, "Daddy, look at that. That there chicken is dead and don't even know it." That's exactly the way lost people are. That's exactly the way you were before Jesus saved you. That's exactly the way I was before Jesus saved me. No, I'm not saying we were flopping around like a chicken with our head cut off, though I know some people who may fit that bill. What I am saying is we were walking around dead. Dead. Jesus came so that men could live. When a dead man, lost man, meets Jesus, he passes from death into life. When that dead man becomes alive in Jesus, everything in his life changes. Folks, we need to realize that tonight. If we are saved, we are a saved person. We are changed. We have a new life. And that new life is that Jesus is the strength of the earthly life that we have. We are alive today only by His good grace. It is Jesus that makes life possible. It isn't modern medicine. It isn't the doctors. It isn't the prescriptions. It isn't any of the health foods. It isn't the wealth and the prosperity. It's Jesus that makes life good. It is grace, and by grace that we have the strength and the ability to walk into God's house and sit down and worship Him. It is grace that gives us the strength and the ability to walk into work. It is grace that gives us the strength and the ability to get out of bed every morning. It is grace that sees us through our day. Also, Jesus is the secret of an effective life. It has been said that three things make life worth living. A self that is fit to live with, a faith that is fit to live by, and a purpose that is fit to live for. Only Jesus can give you all three of those. He gives life, and He gives it abundantly. The word abundantly means superior, extraordinary, surpassing, uncommon. That is the kind of life that He came to give. He gives life. And He gives life purpose. Well, not only is Jesus the strength of our life and the secret of the effectiveness of our life, He is the source of our eternal life. Those who know Jesus by faith will live eternally. He makes life permanent. Real living is more than walking and talking and eating and breathing, loving. It's more than all of that and anything else. Real life, abundant life, joyful life is found in knowing God through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's real life. That is the source of eternal life. Well, Jesus came to bring light into darkness. Now, a person who does not know Jesus is much more than being spiritually dead. He is also spiritually dark. Jesus came to change all that. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus came to deliver the lost from the darkness and to bring them into His glorious light. Ephesians 5:8 says, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. If you are saved tonight, don't walk around in darkness. If you are saved tonight, walk around in the light of Jesus Christ. Live as you are saved. Let salvation live through you. Living the life of a saved, born-again Christian is not living a scripted life. Living the life of a born-again Christian is living a life that is open to Jesus and letting Jesus live through you. Acts 26:18 reminds us to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Again, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, we read, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. If we are saved today, we have been brought from darkness into light. Do we live that way? Do we embrace it? Do we allow it to live through us? Do we allow Jesus to have his way in our life? Jesus came into this world to bring light to spiritual darkness. Just as he stood in the darkness of creation and said, let there be light, there was a day when he stood in the cold darkness of my heart and brought light into my soul. Now listen to me as I tell you what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light of Jesus Christ shined in the darkness of our heart. My heart. Your heart. The heart of every born again saved person in the body of Christ. What is sad is we live in a world that stumbles blindly in the dark, stumbles seeking light in all the wrong places. I heard about a drunk one time who was down on all fours late one night under a streetlight. He was groping around on the ground, feeling the cement, trying to find something. A friend walked up to him and said, Sam, what are you doing there? He said, well, I lost my wallet. So his friend gets down on his hands and knees, and they're both looking for the man's wallet. Neither one can find it. And finally, the friend says to his drunk buddy, are you sure you lost the wallet here? Well, no. In fact, I dropped it half a block over there. Well, then why are we looking here? Because there's no street light over there. Friend, that's the way people address the world. And they address it in that very aspect of trying to find light. They chase the wrong light in the wrong place, looking for something that they know is very real. But they're looking in all the wrong places, under all the wrong light. They reject it when it comes their way. John 3:19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. We had much rather live a life of evil wickedness because it satisfies our flesh. It satisfies our flesh to live in anger. It satisfies our flesh to live in spite. It satisfies our flesh to live in hatred and bitterness. It satisfies our flesh to live in lust and immorality. It satisfies our flesh to follow all those things that are wicked. And we had rather be there because we love that rather than the light that comes from Jesus Christ. The word comprehended in verse 5 that we read, it means to lay hold on. It means to claim for one's self. Claim for one's self. Take ownership of salvation tonight. And often folks do worse than what we've just spoken of. The lost world is actively trying to quench the light to prevent it from shining anywhere. But I have news for them. The light that has shone brightly from eternity past, the light that gleamed in Bethlehem's manger, the light that has shone for 33 years while Jesus walked this earth, the light that flickered at Calvary and then blazed forth at the entrance to the empty tomb will continue to light the pathway toward eternity for those who desire to follow Him. Most folks are messed up when it comes to what they think Christmas is all about. Their primary concern is giving the perfect gift. You know, only God can do that. Only God can give the perfect gift. And that is just what He did. When He sent Jesus into this world, He gave His Son Jesus the greatest gift that could ever be given to humanity. He gave Jesus to be life for our dead souls, to be light to our darkened hearts. He gave His all when He gave us His Son. So let me ask you a question. Are you going to have a right Christmas? You can, but only if Jesus is at the center of everything you do. Here is how you guarantee yourself a right Christmas this year. Be sure that you're saved. Be sure that you know Him, that you have passed from death unto life. Then be sure this day, Christmas Day, is about Him and not about anything else. I'm not telling you to avoid all of the packages and the family. I'm not telling you to avoid and put away, but I'm telling you that in your heart, carry Jesus every day, because every day is Christmas Day if you're saved. Be sure to give Him the glory that He is due. When you wake up in the morning, wake up glorifying God. When you go to bed at night, wake up. Go to bed at night glorifying God so you can wake up the next morning prepared to pick up right where you left off the night before. Glorifying God. Our lives should be about glorifying God. So has He spoken to your heart tonight? If so, maybe there's work that needs to be done in your life. If so, maybe there's conviction that needs to be met. If so, there's opportunity for you to come to Jesus, for you to have the right